In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was the middle of November when the strange man came to the village, writes Dorothy Sayers in her short mystery, The Incredible Elopement of Lord Peter Wimsey. Thin, pale, and silent, with his great black hood flapping about his face, he was surrounded with an atmosphere of mystery from the start. A young woman named Marta decides to pay him a visit. She's serving as a maid and a nurse to an aristocratic Englishwoman who's been brought to this small village in the Spanish Pyrenees by her husband sometime in the 1920s. This woman seems to have been bewitched under a magic spell, and Marta thinks perhaps this strange man is a wizard or a magician who can cure her. When she enters his house, Marta encounters a strange scene. An aromatic steam began to rise from the cauldron, then a faint music that seemed to roll in from leagues away. The flame flickered and dropped. Then out of the darkness, a strange voice chanted in an unearthly tongue that sobbed and thundered. She saw his pale lips move, and presently he spoke in a deep, husky tone that vibrated solemnly in the dim room. O pepon amen gar polemon peritonde fugonte, aie de meloi menagero ta thanatote, and so on. Marta needs no further evidence. This man is a mighty wizard. This man can break the spell. But this man is, the reader knows, no magician at all. He's the English amateur detective, Lord Peter Wimsey. The unearthly sights and sounds are simply a chemistry set and a phonograph playing in the background. His incantation is nothing but a fragment of the Iliad that he had to memorize as a boy in school, albeit rendered quite dramatically. The woman has not been bewitched at all. She's been brought to remote Spain, kept drugged by her husband and tormented for wrongs unknown. And all Lord Peter needs is access to the house to help her to escape. The magic is all a front to convince the people in the village who may not understand what's going on that he is a mighty man who can rescue this bewitched woman. Peter Wimsey understands that human beings sometimes need a flashy cure. It seems more legitimate than a simple one. And the prophet Elisha could have told you the same thing. It's part of the comedy of this reading from the second book of Kings. The contrast between the pompous grandiosity of the kings and generals and the simplicity of those whose society deems humble and lowly, the servants and the prophet. Naaman is the commander of the army of the king of Aram, a great man who's in high favor with the king himself, a mighty warrior. But he doesn't know the cure for his disease. Instead, it's a young girl who points the way, an enslaved girl, kidnapped from her land of Israel on an Aramean raid. There's a prophet in my old hometown who could probably help, she says. Why don't you go see? But this simple solution, go see the prophet in my old hometown that you have defeated in battle, is far too simple. Naaman wants something more grand. So he consults with the king of Aram, who sends him to the king of Israel with a diplomatic letter and 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and a few nice suits. And the king of Israel, too, is full of drama. Am I God to give life or death? The king of Aram must be mocking me, I am sure. But Elisha the prophet is calm. Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me. So Naaman comes, and Elisha gives him the simple answer. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times. You can imagine the pause. That's it? I thought for me, Naaman says, he would surely come out and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Naaman wants the Lord Peter Wimsey treatment. He wants the bubbling cauldron and the flickering lights and the incantation in a strange and foreign tongue. He does not want a bath. It is insultingly simple. But again, his servants carefully approach. If he gave you something hard to do, wouldn't you do it? So why not all the more when all he said was, go wash in the river 7 times? And finally, wising up to the situation, he does what they say. And it works. Sometimes the truth is simpler than we think it is. Sometimes it's simpler than we want to admit. I sometimes worry that we approach our Christian faith like Naaman, not Elisha, as a tangle of inscrutable mysteries, not a fairly simple truth. There's a virtue to approaching our faith as a complex thing. It's good to be thoughtful and careful. It's good to approach God with humility about our own ability to understand ultimate truth, to appreciate nuance rather than dumbing things down. But I sometimes worry that our yearning for complexity and subtlety and depth can distract us, like Naaman, from the simple truths. Jesus, to be fair, has plenty to say that's enigmatic. But at the heart of the gospel, there's a simple truth. The kingdom of God has come near. He sends his followers out to 35 towns in pairs and gives them instructions. Go where I'm sending you. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if they welcome you, eat with them. Cure the sick. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near. And if they don't welcome you, leave town. Wipe the very dust off your feet and announce in the streets that that's what you're doing. But nevertheless, proclaim the same simple message. The kingdom of God has come near. It's a truth that can sometimes be too simple to bear. Sometimes I think we want to be the Naamans of our own lives. We want to be the mighty commanders, competent and in control and held in high regard. At the very least, we want there to be something that we can do, some ritual we can enact, some prayer that we can say, some good work we can perform that will heal or save us, improve our lives, or change our worlds. But the kingdom of God is not something conjured with a magic spell. We don't wave our hands or invoke the name of our God. In Jesus, the kingdom of God is near at hand. And our part is simply to turn aside and enter it, just as Naaman turns aside and steps into that river. Not as mighty and powerful people in control of our own destinies, but as people who recognize that we need to be healed. That our nation needs to be healed, that our world needs to be healed. Because that is the simple truth. The kingdom of God is near, if only we were to turn aside and enter it. There are these moments throughout life where you can see that kingdom of God and feel how near it is. I don't know if you've ever had an experience like this. I did actually just this week on Thursday night. I went to the 10th anniversary celebration of Turn It Around, the Charlestown Coalition youth group. Some of you may remember some folks from the Charlestown Coalition came and spoke with us here after a service during Lent. But they started as the Charlestown Substance Abuse Coalition, doing work on drug abuse and alcohol, and they've changed a little over time. But they have this youth group that they've had for 10 years that started as a sort of social marketing campaign about the dangers of drug overdoses, and has evolved into a network of young leaders who work with these wonderful people in the Charlestown Coalition to try to spread their message of peace and of love and of health throughout our community. The very fact that many of us have not heard of their work has a lot to do with the divisions within our community. This is a group of young people who live almost entirely in the Bunker Hill development, who go almost entirely to Charlestown High School. But as I sat in this room on Thursday night, not this room, it was over at the Museum of Science, looking around the room, I saw, for once, a Charlestown community that bridged our common divides. A group of young people who live in the Bunker Hill development, supported by townies who live throughout the neighborhood, who've been part of the recovery community for years. Supported by a network of yuppie social workers and doctors and people from out of town. Being together as a community, trying to heal and comfort this neighborhood. For me, it was a glimpse of the kingdom of God. It was a moment when I saw what the world could be if we turned and stepped into that kingdom that is so near at hand. A place in which, as our colic this morning said, we have learned to follow all God's commandments by loving God and loving our neighbors. And in this neighborhood, of all places, love of our neighbors is not a metaphorical thing. It is what it is to be a community. It is what it is to be Christians. It's not complicated. It's not impressive. Do not let somebody deceive you by standing in the pulpit and declaiming in Homeric Greek. Christianity is not that hard. Correction. Christianity is very, very hard. It's just not complicated. So I wonder what it means to see the kingdom of God near you. I wonder what it means to turn aside and step into that river, even when you have good rivers at home. I wonder what it would mean for us to become part of that beloved community together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.